Today is the 16th of October 2018. We are still in Jerusalem, we are still in Israel, and it's going to be the last encounter and the last interview, and it's one of the most difficult because the man who is sitting beside me, he is not only a real professional, but he is something who has something to say, and you will hear why. First, he's going to present himself.
Hi, I'm David Wittstum. I was a journalist for many years and worked alongside in Tel Aviv University and Jerusalem University in the history department and in the journalism school. I wrote a book about the coverage of terror events on Israel television, and I've just now finished a book about the beginning of Israel-German relations 1945 to 1960, and the name of the book is The Beginning of a Wonderful Friendship?
Are we still at the beginning of this period? So how can we call that? Is it still a friendship, or is that necessity, or is there hope for something else which may come up later?
Well, it could be all of these, and it could be what you mean by friendship. I think it was necessity which started all that. Israel was just, you know, in the first phases of its history, you know, very poor and very, you know, beaten after the Holocaust. Germany was occupied until 1949. But still, it took two people like Chancellor Konrad Adenauer and David Ben-Gurion, our first prime minister, to see the future. And not only the future, they were old enough to remember the past before the time of Hitler and the Third Reich, and to believe also, or to hope, as you say, for a better future, or for a Wiedergutmachung in, so to say, the real sense of the world, you know, to do things right. And also, I think that Adenauer, with his Catholic views, conservative views, and David Ben-Gurion with his really messianistic almost view about the future and about the coming back of Israel to its land, believe that the present is not so real. What is real is the future, and what is real is the next generation. And I think this is kind of an act of will that they both had or did when they started the negotiation, when they signed the agreement about the Wiedergutmachung in 1952. And since then, human relations have done the rest. Curious and interested Germans, young Germans, have started coming to Israel. Israelis, curious, old and young, have come to Germany. And, you know, Germany has invested a lot in the Wiedergutmachung in all senses. And I think Israel, you know, took it, you know, with thanks, but also, you know, was curious to see if there is, as Ben-Gurion was saying, if there is another Germany, if there is a new Germany. And I think we discovered that there is. And this is actually what I was writing in the book. And I think, yes, in a way, this is friendship. I mean, friendship together with necessity, but also the hope for the future.
My intention was not to make a long interview, but I have to ask an extra question. At that moment, Adenauer signed a contract with Charles de Gaulle about something called Office Franco-Allemand pour la Jeunesse. It's only now that people start to think about something similar between the young people in Israel and Germany. Why did it take so long to discover that necessity?
Well, I think that the years between 1949 and 1989 were dominated by the Cold War. And I think the young generation in Germany, first in the 50s, lived a very sheltered life from the past. In the 60s, it was the first kind of, you know, Auseinandersetzung, the first conflict, you know, with the generation before that. And, you know, the real outlook or the real universalistic point of view that, you know, was starting in Germany took many, many more years, you know, to develop. So I think that it was only in the 90s, and perhaps more even under Chancellor Merkel, who really is representative of this young generation, that this could be developed and supported, although also in my time, you know, as a correspondent in Germany in the 80s, there were some people who were talking about this. One of them I remember very clearly was a very interesting and I think clever or even wise man. He was then minister. His name was Heiner Geisler. I think he was one of the, you know, the people who really showed the way for what you say, the younger generation, in a way to look beyond, you know, the real generation war between old generation and young generation inside Germany, but more in the European sense and also in the direction of Israel.
Now we come to the point when you were young. Did you speak any German?
Well, no, never. My parents spoke German sometimes between themselves, because my father comes from Berlin and my mother studied in a German school in Chernovitz, which is in Romania. They didn't talk German to me, but somehow, you know, it was back of the mind, and somehow I discovered that I understand the language.
You have been the face to the audience here in showing them some other countries abroad. But now you do something else. You give a face of Israel to us abroad. What has changed in yourself to do that?
I see the growing gap between what we know about Israel and what we feel, what we sense as Israelis, and the world which looks at us from outside. And as a journalist, I wrote a book about the way Israeli television broadcast the terror attacks against Israel. And I saw that we do something very, very different than the way, let's say, CNN or BBC or German media covers the stories. We see it as human stories. We see it as our story, connected with our history, with our religion, and so on. And the others from outside see it as a political story. And the gap is getting wider because the new media, the new networks, the internet, whatever, doesn't give us more information, but gives us less information about what was called once Weltanschauung. You can buy everything you want in China or look Google up or Facebook and whatever, but you don't have the horizon, you know, to see the whole picture. Ask any Israeli, you know, what are the political parties in Germany, what are the ministers, what are whatever, what's going on there, unless, you know, it is about a new song or a new neo-Nazi group or whatever, he will know nothing. Or sports, of course, yes, or food. So really this is making the picture or the face of, as you asked, of Israel for me, yes, very different than I see the face of Israel from outside. And because I was a journalist, I see both pictures and I tried also today in our talk here to make clear that, you know, what you see from outside is different than what we as Israelis see it.
This is a long, long, long topic and we can't cover that all today. But actually it is the intention of these little kind of encounter, maybe not even interview, to find out who is the person behind all these lectures we are going to get. So frankly, what was your intention? What is your impulse? What makes you take the power and the energy to do all that work which you're doing for the moment?
I think that really the main motive is to make sure to me and to others that the next generation and the generation after that, because I'm already a grandfather, is better, real better than us, and will have a better life and better understanding also on the past, but also on the future, because I think we are now in a period of very, very great change that we do not really know where it's going to lead. And I've seen the change in media. I see the change in the political parties I'm talking about. I see the change in politics, you know, in Europe, in America, in Israel. And I really don't know, you know, if it's for the better or for the worse. I think the odds are now, yes, even of if it's going to be, you know, change for the better or for the worse. So I think in better understanding or in better paying more attention and trying to meet with people and tell people, hear from people, you know, what they think. I mean, we can make it a little clearer to ourselves where we are going. Because I really think that we need this kind of, as I said, wider picture that we don't get from the media, we don't get it from the parties, we don't get it from our politicians, we don't get it in our education system. So we need people who will tell us, you know, and we need to discuss it, and we need to, you know, think about it. Mostly to think about it, because many people have so much to do in recent, you know, in Israel. You see, people are so busy, they have no time to stop to think. So I think now that I'm no more in active duty, I have more time to, you know, to stop, to think, to speak with people, and I find this is very important.
That's a good cross point for the last question. I promised you the last question is a challenging one. Imagine all the potential questions I could have asked, but I didn't. Imagine one of these questions which really would have liked to answer. What would have been this question, and what would have been this answer?
Well, depends if you ask a personal question or if you mean a political question. I really think that if it's a personal question, I think the question would be if my opinions or my views or my beliefs have something to do with my father's generation or with my father typically. And I would say that I hope that really I fulfill my father's wishes. And I always felt like this when I go back to the issues that he was interested in, and also that I go back in a way to the language he spoke as he was a child. And when I go back to Berlin, you know, he lived in Oranienburger Straße 89, which is now looks very different than it was then, but in a way I feel always a little bit at home in Berlin, and a little home, I mean my father's house, although I never got never wanted a German passport, I will stay with my Israeli passport. But yes, his world was always also the German culture, German music, the German language. We speak English because I'm afraid also to do the mistakes, because I know he would be very angry if he heard me speak German with mistakes. You know, for Germans, sometimes making mistakes is not only wrong, it's immoral.
So I'll just say in the end, vielen herzlichen Dank. Und Mazel Tov.
Danke. Wiedersehen.